shots, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Our sin is ours alone. God is not moved or impressed by our placing blame on others for the evil that comes out of our either unredeemed or incompletely sanctified hearts. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, Martin, I thought we were in Romans. What's all this about? Yes, we are in Romans. And I have a strange task today. Normally, I would explain a text and apply it to you. Today, I want to explain a text and tell you to apply it much, much less. But you may from time to time have someone try to pin this text wrongfully on you. And I want you to be ready for that. So, turn, tap, swipe, and or scroll to Romans chapter 14. And we're going to begin reading in verse 13. Romans 14, 13. And Paul starts out, he's a great teacher, and he knows the importance of review. So he gives us a review. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. When it comes to disputable issues, you guys need to quit judging each other, and you need to accept one another. That's where he's at. Remember, these are the first principles. When it comes to disputable issues, the first things to remember are: accept people who think and act differently. Hold off on the judgment. Create space. Those are the first principles. And to these, he now adds one. Instead, Paul goes on, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Fascinating. This is the first time Paul's talked about stumbling blocks. And I want you to see two things. This text does not say, don't put up a stumbling block as you live your life. It says, don't put up a stumbling block in your brother's way. And the image of this text makes me think of hunting. You know, like a stumbling block, a trap, a snare. If you wanna get an animal, you gotta figure out where they go and where they walk and how they live and what they eat. And then you set that trap right where they go. What Paul is saying is, don't push yourself into other people's lives. Don't lay stumbling blocks in your brothers and sisters' ways. A wise way to say this would be, mind your own business, which is quite proverbial. Now consider with me these words. Stumbling block. Block. Obstacle. An obstacle is something that is difficult to get around. Something that's large or sharp or dangerous that makes you stop what you're doing. Imagine you're walking on a trail. You're with a friend. You look down and see a bottle cap. You don't say, "Hey, Joe, there's a bottle cap right there. Careful. Just be careful." Or a rock, maybe. Wow, that would be a problem. We got to hold up here. There's a rock. No. A tree across the trail is an obstacle. You got to walk around it, go over it, go under it. A rattlesnake on a trail is an obstacle. You stop. You go well around it. These are big things. There is intention here. Paul is not saying you have to live every moment of your life in constant fear that someone might see you do something or say something that offends somebody. Paul has already addressed this. That's why he said, do not judge and just accept people as you live your lives. That's what you do. See, there are some people who don't want to live that way. There are some people that want to make other people see everything their way. You have to like the sandwiches they like and the way they like to have them prepared. You have to like the music they like. You have to like the shoes they like, the cars they like. It just goes on and on and on. And so such people initiate conflict. And we'll say more about what that looks like later on. Paul goes on. And I love again this shot of truth Paul comes through. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. Now, no review in Paul. He's said this before. He keeps telling us these things because we need to hear them. The truth is out there. And it's right here. This is what's true about this. But I love this. He goes on. But if anyone regards something as unclean, for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed by what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. The give and take of Paul is astonishing and brilliant. First, all food is clean. That's the truth. But also realize that sometimes people were just messed up. And I don't think we fully appreciate how different life experiences really are. And some of these things go so, so deep. Just imagine what it would be like to routinely be beaten by a drunk parent. I mean, if you haven't lived that way, I don't think you could know. I don't think you could have any idea. But just terror and wrongness and bitterness and weakness and horror that would create. And I'm just seeing that parent with a beer and then that fist in your face day after day after day. Man, I don't know what that would ever be like, but I get scared just making it in my mind. And so, you gotta think twice. But note, it's not that someone is annoyed or frustrated with you. They are distressed. Strong word. And the wording gets stronger. And for those of you who like to underline, mark, or whatever, you've got to get this. Paul goes on. Do not, by your eating, destroy underline, highlight, destroy. Because that's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about annoying, frustrating, just being life. He's saying don't use freedom that destroys people. Destroys them. Now we have enough text underneath our feet to pull this together and talk about what Paul is saying and what he is not. First of all, living your life and exercising your freedom does not put a stumbling block in your brother's way. You're just living your life. You have to step out of your life and intentionally get in the way to make this be about you. And secondly, the obstacle you have to leave in your brother or sister's way has to destroy them for this text to be applied to you. So let me give you some examples. You're at a restaurant with some of your friends from work. Someone from the church walks in and sees you with a beer in your hand. In his heart, he judges you as worthy and goes on to find the people he is meeting. That is not a stumbling block, my friends. You did not put an obstacle in your brother's way. You were living your life. You weren't trying to trap him. You're not trying to convince them about your life. That is not a stumbling block. Now, what is? It bothers you that a sister doesn't enjoy life the way you do. You know, you just love wine and alcohol. You like to drink it with food, and it's just so fun. It's just a great thing to have. And you wish she could enjoy that too. And besides, she kind of needs to loosen up anyway. Wrapped a little on the tight side. But you know, she's told you that she's struggled with alcohol in the past and she doesn't want to have anything to do with it. But I mean, that's... Come on. Grow up. We're adults. So you invite her over for a barbecue. You invite her to a barbecue. You walk up to her with her favorite beer and say, have a cold beer on a hot day. She says, no, thank you, and joins the group sitting on the patio. She is an introvert and struggles to converse with so many new people. She wishes she could do something with her hands. An hour later, you come back and offer her that beer again. And this time she takes it. And you're happy. Man, this is freedom, baby. Loving this stuff happening right now. So she leaves the party pleasantly buzzed. Feels great for the first time that she can remember. So she just tries to go to the bar she used to drink at. Meets her old friends there. And keeps drinking. And on the way home, she crashes her car. That is putting a stumbling block and an obstacle in somebody's way. Do you see the difference? And the level of intentionality necessary? So, some things to remember. The strong don't allow people to use this idea of a stumbling block to keep you from enjoying your life. There are people, and I've met several throughout my Christian life, who want to use the idea of a stumbling block to just shut you down, to keep you from doing the stuff you like to do. Your expression of freedom irritates them, and they just want you to stop. So they just say you're putting up stumbling blocks and you need to stop. This is a common way for the weak to take over the culture of a church. I call this enshrining your weaker brother. And a church can have many shrines throughout their culture. There can be the entertainment shrine. This is the culture keeper who makes all the decisions about entertainment, you know. It fascinates me. Some people I've heard say that even certain musical notes are bad. Certain chords, certain chord progressions, certain instruments are essentially bad. Enshrine the weaker brother. Everything goes through their filter. Then you can, of course, add the entertainment weaker brother who, you know, polices everybody's TV shows and, you know, movies and what you can and cannot watch. There can be the modesty czar, the one who defines modesty not only by, if you don't use a ruler to measure skirts, you can use your eyes just as well. I kind of like how that looks. Promoting the brazen biblical notion that ugliness is next to godliness. There is the word shrine, the word weaker brother, who is just, you know, figured out, sort of like George Carlin used to, what's okay and what's not, and make sure everybody toes the line. And you know this happens because people ignore the first part of the text. That's what they did. Was they took this principle and then just forgot about accepting and not judging. That part of the Bible magically got left out. We just skipped over that, and now we go straight to no stumbling blocks, nothing. You can't offend anybody. You can't be different than anybody. You just got to be the same, and when you come to our church, you've got to follow all these rules, and pretty soon, we all dress the same, we all talk the same, we all listen to the same music, we sit the same, and we don't want to do anything. Because we're not sure what we're supposed to do. So we just sit very quietly, very still. Make sure that we check in with our culture keepers. You know, I watched Grey's Anatomy last week. Is that okay? I wonder if somebody saw me watch it. I mean, this is the insanity this brings us to. They also replace annoy with destroy. Focus on that word, destroy. Make sure it's destruction and not annoyance that drives a stumbling block. And I love the wisdom that Paul then gives us. Paul's so great at this. He goes on in this text, and I love this. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. I love that. See, the lady in our example who believed that alcohol was good wound up causing real harm, even destruction. Why risk that? Trying to drag other believers into your convictions about what is good, you could harm somebody out of what is good. That is something you value and enjoy for God. Why would you risk that? Let your joy be deliciously intimate with God. Enjoy life's gifts with God. That is joy. And don't mess it up by risking that, by having people mess it up. I don't want that. And now to the weak. And this is why I did this introduction. even if somebody offers you and sets a stumbling block before you, never blame anybody for your choices. Yet the strong should never put up stumbling blocks. It is not loving to do so. But to the weak, you cannot blame your sinful choices on those stumbling blocks. As much as it's difficult to say, the gal that made those choices still made them. And she's got to go before God and ask and talk about that. Because the second you allow other people to make your choices, you are less human. You are less who God made you to be. An independent person who loves and likes differently than anyone else on this world. I'm so thankful for this. Paul is just a genius. He dramatically changes the tone. It's as if he's grown weary with all this talk about meat, vegetables, days. Paul needs some fresh air. You know, this happens so rarely, but sometimes when you hike in high places, you get over 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 feet, you just keep going up. Sometimes you pass through clouds. And if the trail keeps rising, you actually get above the clouds. And you look down on the cloud cover. Look down on it. You see this sometimes on planes. But what's amazing when you're on land is how bright the world is. It's just direct sunlight and just white blue clouds all around you, and it is vividly beautiful. And so Paul rises above all this stuff, and he says this: for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eat and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do what I've told you to do. Focus on righteousness. Focus on the things the Bible says are right and wrong. And you do what is right. You know, Jesus said of the Pharisees, they strain a gnat but swallow a camel. Isn't that brilliant? We do a heap a lot of straining. Man, just small stuff, disputable stuff, let it go. Focus on the big stuff. The stuff that is clear. Righteousness and peace. You know, people, we're just not horribly peaceful. We're difficult. We just are. And it's real hard to have peace with people. We're just always fussing and grinding and around. And I love it in Jesus in the Upper Room Discourse. He says to his disciples, my peace I give you. I don't give like the world gives. It's of a different quality, a different depth. Because you know, you can have peace with God. You can. That's what the crucifixion and salvation is all about. We have peace with God. That's the place I want to be. And enjoy in the Holy Spirit. You know, if you get bent out of shape because you can't have a glass of wine at dinner, or you know, you want to smoke a cigar one night and you can't because some Christians are around. If that kind of stuff bothers you, grow up. Just get over that stuff. It's so unnecessary. You can know God. You don't worry about a steak. God is life. This is just stuff. Focus on God. Focus on Him. And then Paul, unfortunately, as we have to do, has to come off of those mountaintops. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. It's wonderful. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, or to building people up. Again, do not destroy, highlight, underline, the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. Again, the truth is out there. But it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone to stumble and be destroyed, remember. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall in the sense of destruction. So Paul gives and he takes. Are you a builder or a destroyer? It's really that simple. That's what he's saying to us. And for those of you who are builders, have you noticed it's so much easier to destroy? You know, my son Max is over there. I didn't know you were going to be here today because I'm going to talk about you. But it's okay. It's a fun story. I had three sons, and we had more Legos than you could possibly imagine. We had this large crate that we just filled with Legos. And Max in particular loved to build towers. And it takes a long time to build a good tower. And then you know what Max liked to do? And he'd laugh. Again. Let's build it again. So we'd take 2 hours to build a great tower. We built some awesome towers. And then what? 5 seconds, just the floor is covered with 1,000,000,000 pieces. And it's true of life. It's so easy to destroy and greatly, greatly overrated. We don't want to be people who destroy. We want to be people who build. You do this by welcoming, by not judging, and by telling people the truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our text, and help us to be wise, to be loving. Help us to leave a trail not of destruction, but a trail that is clear, that leads to righteousness, peace, and joy in you. We pray we would do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.